all my little hands and sing it one more time. There's never been a day. There's never been a day like this day. Like this day I see, yeah, never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glory of Amen. Let us pray. How we thank God to be living in this day. His amazing grace, great predestinated mystery. He has placed us to live in this day that we might show forth His glory. We should thank Him for the fullness of His word that has come into existence in this day, bringing His church back to her original glory. Blessed be His wonderful name. I want to remember these requests. We go to pray. Brother and Sister Brown request in prayer for his son Kevin that as he begins his university education tomorrow, that God would keep him by His grace and would use him for a witness in that place of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which we are not ashamed. Amen. We just want to remember our precious brother Kevin. It's good for him to be there. God to give a witness in all those places. The God who have led him thus far will come to lead him. Pray God requested for the word nephew who has a soul and heart. He also wants to give the Lord thanks for delivering him from also his stomach after prayers offered a few weeks ago. It just seems that he has another complication, but God is more than able. Amen. May God do something in that heart also. Amen. In a very special way. Brother Murray, just in prayer. Our prayer goes for Brother Murray and his son. Also prayer is requested for Brother Winston Douglas' daughter Ruth. All these at home suffering the virus. Prayer is requested for Brother Labord's father who is in San Fernando Hospital. Ward 11, suffering from diabetes. Also, a present prayer for the salvation of his soul. Sometimes, we may not even realize that how God cares for these and in a simple way, how He moves in our heart, that we could even approach Him on their behalf, our loved ones. Sometimes the condition that they are in, and it may seem so horrible and it may seem so far away, that if we could only think of His bountiful grace and mercy, His unfailing words of promise, to realize that God could do something for them, even though they may not know Him, even though they may not be walking with Him, that this could be the turning point in their lives. So let us just send our heart upon our precious Lord Jesus and let me encourage you. You that might be standing here with a different type of need this morning. These basically were for divine healing, physical healing in the bodies. But God is also mindful of you. It is a special request upon your heart. Let us just believe. And let this day really be a special day. That we truly can meet it when we sing. There's never been a this day. A day like this day. Amen. Gracious God, merciful Father. God, we stand here making these requests known in your in the midst of your congregation. On behalf of their loved ones. But as a people who have experienced your amazing grace, and knowing our unworthiness, and knowing, dear God, that even while we were in sin and darkness of this world, it was because of the prayers of someone, a man had been praying for us, Lord, while we're not even walking with you. God, you was merciful to give heed and answer those prayers, Lord. Here we are today, standing in your presence, standing under your blood, recognizing your amazing grace. And now we too in turn could pray for someone else who would be out there standing in the need of prayer. Knowing, dear God, that thou art a gracious God who cares. Care so much, dear God. Lord, when we think that you were speaking here last week, right, this very same spot of ground, how you cared for a possum. When there was not even a soul praying for that possum, you saw that mother possum and her babies suffering, Lord, dying, oh God, and them little ones, father, needing the care of a mother to nurse them. God, she needed to be strengthened her body to fulfill her motherhood responsibilities. Yet you were so faithful to guide her to that fountain. Hallelujah, that was opened in the house of David. Lord, where the blessing of divine had been ministered through a divine gift that laid in a prophet of God. Hallelujah. The same God who led that Shunammite woman with a dead baby to that prophet, the same God come back in his day and led that possum, Lord, to another prophet with the same spirit upon him. And whether it's man or animal, you are God who cares for all. When we see you reveal yourself like that in the Bible, Father, it gives us confidence that when we would approach on behalf of a human being, especially those who are connected to people that are serving you and walking in your light, Lord, servants of yours, Father, we ask that you would be merciful to these, Father, and God, you would think even of these your children standing here serving you. And now, dear God, the ones that they love and is connected to them is suffering, is afflicted, laid up in hospitals. They're just asking you, Father, knowing that you can do it, Lord, you've already done it, but that even through what they may have testified, what they may have witnessed, how they have walked and served you, they might come forth even to their loved ones, and you might show yourself alive, and you might minister the blessing of divine healing to them. Won't you do that for them, Lord Jesus? I pray, even them that are homesick, them that are out in the hospital, Lord, God, them that are here believing for their loved ones, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would cover them. And that very promise of divine healing would become so effective in their bodies, and you'd make them well. Even them that need a touch of you, not just to know you as healer, but even as savior. Knowing we are standing at the end of this civilization, at the end of this Gentile dispensation, dear God, Lord, when darkness has covered the earth, God, when you're fixing the pall of your wrath and judgment upon a generation that rejected your word, may you reach out and touch these today, Father. God, even them who have brought their loved ones to the house of God, who may not know you, Lord, sitting here in your presence today, The word of life, oh God, would save their souls. Lord, you would quicken and the light would shine into their souls. You reveal yourself unto them, dear God. Your plan of salvation becomes so real. They would not walk away seeing this plan so reveal unto them. They would walk in, Lord, making confession, humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God and receiving what you have done for them, Father. Lord Jesus, even as we stand here today, we look unto you, Lord. We are all a needy people. God, when we see the modern events, we see this world swiftly heading to destruction. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see nation against nation. We see men heart failing for fear. God, we see perilous times everywhere. It makes your message of deliverance that you have sent so much more real. It makes us so much more grateful in our hearts that, dear God, you have sent the light to show us the way that we can walk out of this world. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. God, you know these days is going to come. You know these perilous times is going to come. And you give us something to put the stabilizers in the ship. You give us something to prepare the people. You give us something, oh God, to lift this bride out of this world. You give us something that could give the people hope in these dark times. God, may we minister with such reality. May the grace of God, Lord, go forth today in such a way, Father. People, Lord, will take a hold of the cross of Calvary. God will be so thankful in our hearts for what you will do amongst us. It will make us so much more sincere. It will make us so much more desperate, Lord. And make us, oh God, not leave the things of God that we need to give heed to unattended. It would make us a more serious people. God, let us not miss, Lord God, the thing that your word that you have sent forth and has pointed us to. And Lord, it's been reiterated back amongst us that we will not miss these things, Father. But we recognize it is your great salvation, so rich and free, that you have sent forth unto us. Your word says, Lord God, take the earnest heed of the things that we have seen and have heard, lest at any time we let it slip. Oh God, we don't want to let it slip, Lord. God, even you have spoken to us, especially in this last week, that judgment must begin at the house of God. May we give earnest heed to these things, Lord. May we take that word in our hearts. May we mix it with faith. Dear God, may we exhort one another much more. We see that they're approaching. May we put on the arm of light, that breastplate of faith and love. No one is nearer than when we have first believed. Let every lamp be so trimmed and filled with oil. Let every soul, oh God, Father, be in consecration, walking in the presence of the living God. God, may you just have your way amongst us. We commit ourselves into your hands, asking that you would just speak to us, and the Spirit of God would move amongst us in such an effective way today. Lord God, if there is one, Lord, who might be walking and not conscious or becoming lukewarm, Father, they could be shaken back. This is a place of desperation. They could get to a place, oh God, where they'd be so determined to be filled with your Holy Spirit, knowing the Holy Ghost is available to us. We don't just want to come to a service and hear a sermon, but we want to get into that water that is troubled, oh God. We want to experience that deliverance that is taking place among the people of God. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God that is being poured out. We want to have that revival that you have spoken about in this hour that is going to revive the church back to the original blessing, to the power of the living God. Oh God, we want these things to be living realities, Lord, in our hearts. God, may we break through every veil this morning. May we break through every obstacle that, Lord, the enemy will try to turn our way to hinder us, Lord, and turn us aside. But, dear God, I pray that we would rise above these things, dear God. And, Lord God, your word would minister as an entrance to the hearts of the people. And they would come in contact with that divine reality, Lord. grant these things, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Not forgetting the strangers and the visitors that are within our gates. Lord God, may you remember them. May, oh God, even though the place might be hot, even though, God, the service might be a little lengthy, Father, what is that to be compared with the salvation? What is that to be compared with you who have laid on your life for us, who have suffered and died? So many times we use, Lord God, such things to make excuses. So many times we become so feeble and fall under the attack of the enemy, oh God, and fail to realize how the enemy, Lord, works in such subtlety to turn us aside. But dear God, may we see the hour that we are living in, Lord. And may we see, oh God, how close you have come to us. And may we determine that it will not pass us by. God, we will take a hold of these things. Grant it, Lord. I commit this service into your hands now. Waiting upon you, Lord, for the inspiration that by faith I believe you will grant unto us to speak this word, that it might assist your people in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Daniel. I'm going to turn to chapter 2. I'd like to read from. I'd like to read from verse 19. I'm going to go right to the Word and try to spend our time in His Word today. Is so important for us, and especially for those that God by His grace is drawing at this time. Didn't become in the last hour, but they could receive the same blessing. Amen. That is God's grace towards them. Daniel 2, verse 19. Verse 1 to 18 was speaking of an experience that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had. When he had a dream, and he could not remember the dream, and he called all his wise men and soothsayers and magicians, and they couldn't explain to him, they couldn't even tell him the dream, and he became so angry, he decided to kill all of them. And then Daniel and them got the news, and they asked for a little time that they might pray and seek God, that God would give them the meaning of this. We want to read from the time when they went to pray. Verse 19. Listen attentively, and if you're a stranger and visitor, you may not even be acquainted with Christian things or reading the Bible or anything, don't let that hinder you this morning. Just listen to the Word of God. The Spirit of God is more than able to make it real to you, even while you're here in this house today. Amen. So let's have faith and look to the Lamb of God, who is able to save us. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. People think they vote people into power, but God removeth kings and setteth up kings. Amen. People think that they rig elections. People think that they use propaganda and influence people. Let me tell you, that don't ever happen. Man think it, God put who He want there, and God take down who He want there. You can have the fierce election, go right to power, and God kill you and take up the throne and put a bastard or a rascal there. When the time comes that they had to kill all the little babies, God had a Pharaoh there. When I tank had a king that didn't know Joseph, God had one there. When he had a time God wanted a man like heaven on the throne, God had one there. Exactly right. God does that for His glory. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Daniel was saying all these things by an experience of seeing God's supernatural power to reveal, and God's revelation showing God have control in this entire planet. There's nothing move that God don't allow. And when that struck his heart, he praised God. He said, God, you will set up king and take down kings. He said, God, you know what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with you. He said, verse 20, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. How we should praise God and say, God, you who rule, when we see God have opened the seven seals, when we see God have showed you a part of that seventh seal, amen. When God show you that your body is fixed to be changed, when God show you that the millennium is being ushered in, when God show that all the kingdoms of this world, regardless of whether to fight and war and have supremacy over one another, shall become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, amen. When you see we are living in that day, how it ought to make you lift your hands and praise God. Because you know more than what Daniel knew, amen. You see more than what Daniel saw. Amen. Yes, sir. And now at the beginning of the end of Gentile dispensation, we are at the end of the Gentile dispensation. And the same way it's coming, the same way it's going to go out. So think about it. Now, therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will reveal unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found the man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. You see how these officials and politicians like to impress the superiors? I have found me a man. You didn't find no man. Daniel went to him and said, carry me before the king. Amen. But you know, there's a chance for him to get some political mileage off a man who is praying and getting a revelation. Amen. So he kind of used that. Well, king, I know you're trouble and you see your color wise men, they're going to help you, but thank God you have an official like me who could find a man to put your heart at rest. Amen. I tell you, them is shrewd people, I tell you. Amen. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation of it? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers reveal unto the king? But there is a God in heaven who revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That's the time we are living in. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? See, that's why the prophet said dreams is the reflection of the subconscious mind. He was thinking about these things. And he fell asleep. That was his thoughts, what was going to come to pass. I wonder if you would sit and think about what's going to happen this hour. What's going to happen to the bride? What's going to happen in this hour? What's going to happen to the church in this squeeze and what's coming to the earth? I could fall asleep thinking about these things concerned. If God wouldn't be able to reflect it even in his subconscious mind to show you things that are to be. Let the word of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in his sight. Amen. And he who revealeth secrets make it known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have any more than any living. But for the Essex that shall make known the interpretation to the king, thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. See, Daniel in secret was praising God for it. Daniel in public was still giving God praise for it. See? He wasn't trying to impress the king. He had the revelation. He tried to impress the king. The man who began to impress the king wanted to make the king feel he find a man who could reveal the thing. You see how it is? Because he knew it was by the grace of God. That meant that relationship with him and God meant more than any position, any influence, any relationship with any man that he could have to be with God and in God's presence. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form of it was terrible. The king's head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet of iron and part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest until a stone was cut out of your hands, which smote the image.
upon its feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then were the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, but no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Had an image in the earth, then the stone smote the image, destroyed the image, then the stone filled the place where the image was. Amen. What a tremendous thing. This is a dream, and we will tell its interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Who give it to him? God give it to him. Now I got him, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, my servant A&R Robinson. Amen. God own everybody. Amen. Not relationship ownership. Amen. God has used man to do great things, and then God has take it on when he went to take it on. My servant Dr. Eric Williams, I'll take him down now. I'll put up George Chambers. My servant, I'll take him down and put up A&R Robinson. Amen. Sure. Until I move all of it and the stone takes over. Amen. Glory be to God. And the stone is himself. The headstone. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes, sir. And wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heavens, had he given to thine hand and had made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Man can walk and tell the prime minister, he say, no, you know who you are? You are this right here. In this country, this is what God is using you for. And the time is going to come, you have to move through. Amen, sure. That's the Bible. That's not for Babylon. That's God's principle of dealing everywhere. Want to see God do something once? Keep that pattern all through. Every time the situation is. Because he can't change his nature. This is a particular circumstance where the unchangeable nature of God is expressed. So you can see the kind of person God is and how he works. Amen. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, shall be in all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou shalt have feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. Inasmuch as thou shalt the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. You mean God saw all that even before it come to pass? And God for knowledge. God is saying what is going to happen. God is saying what kingdom is going to succeed, which kingdom, and God is giving them in proper succession how each one is going to come in. God is going to give the order which one is going to follow which one. No one nation wants to be a world power in a certain time. They cannot be a world power until the time God said, now you'll be a world power. You'll stay poor until I make you rich. Amen, sure. You will have peace until I say your land is going to be troubled in war. Exactly right. Until I stir up the spirit of this one and bring him here to take you out of your land. Exactly right. Let me go, the devil is not even the race. Exactly right, the devil is not even the race. And in the days of these, no, verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And they shall not adhere one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Amen. Because he saw all these other kingdoms destroyed. But he saw there's a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Oh God, make us part of that kingdom. Amen. Make us part of that kingdom. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and a dream is certain, and the interpretation of it is sure. Let us pray one more time. We also have a little dedication here of a boat for the child, Brother Murray and Brother Thompson, Peter, James, and John, a little sailboat. Amen. They want to dedicate it unto the Lord. Almighty God, we are gathered here now to hear your word. Just reading it, it seems so filled with inspiration, so alive. God, and knowing this great prophetic book of Daniel, this great prophetic vision that is laid here in the pages we have read, and knowing that you are the very same God who revealed unto Daniel, is the same God who have come back down in this day and opened the seven seals and made the vision and prophecy plain through the words spoken by Malachi 4. Lord God, here we are walking in that light. So desire that more and more that light would shine into our hearts, illuminate our minds. Dear God, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Bring us unto that perfect day. Gracious God, may you speak to us in a special way today. May your word go forth in power. Lord, may it be in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. May there be such faith and inspiration to strike the hearts of the people that would move them into such a greater realm of faith. Grant it, Lord. Bless our brothers and bless the boat. May you prosper them. May you direct them in the use of it, dear God. And even like you was in the boat of Peter, James, and John, when you preached the gospel out in the sea, Lord, and then you told them to let them get net far gone. And Lord God, it brought what's so much fish, oh God. I pray, dear God, even that when the storm tried to destroy that boat back in the Bible times, because you was in that boat, Lord God, it said, peace be still. May that boat be dedicated and be used for thy glory, and may you bless them in the use of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless us now, we pray, we wait on thee. Amen. And amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I want to take for the title this morning, the stone that smote the image. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt it, and Daniel saw it in a night vision, and with eyes of divine revelation, we too have seen that stone. You see, but I didn't see it, but I saw that stone. May I pray that through the preaching of the word this morning, you get to see the stone too. That his word can become eye salve, to anoint your eyes, that you can see that stone cut out without hands. It's not somewhere back in some mountain. That stone is right here. That stone I've been speaking to you. That stone I've been smiting every worldly image in your life. That stone is going to grind it up, powder, and drive it out of your earth. And that stone himself is going to come into your earth and fill your earth. And that stone is going to be the kingdom that cannot be removed in your own life. And that kingdom in your life will never be able to be destroyed. Amen. I believe it. Because that stone is Jesus Christ. He is the stone. Amen. He is the headstone. He was a stone of stumbling. He was a rock of offense. But he is that living stone. Amen. Disallowed of men but chosen of God. Amen. That is precious in our eyes this morning. Glory be to God. That stone is he himself who has come into my life. Who has broken up the worldly image that was inside of me. This old Babylonian image. Amen. This old Grecian image. This old Persian image. This old Roman image in my life. He has broken it up. Amen. In my heart. I tell you, there is no kingdoms of man in my earth no more. But there's a kingdom that can't be removed. Amen. There's a kingdom of that rock in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. And because of that rock of revelation. Amen. There's power. There's a praise this morning. Amen. There is something that's been issued forth. Because that rock is the rock of my life. Let him be the rock of your life. Amen. Let him be the foundation upon which you are built. Where you shall not be moved. Amen. Glory be to God. I believe it this morning. And may the word of God, the rock that I'm talking about, Jesus is that rock. Amen. The rock of revelation. It's a seven thunder rock. It's a white rock. It's a rock cut without hands. Amen. You can call him what you want. Amen. Jacob way back there, before Daniel even see anything about any stone, Jacob said, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Genesis 49:24. He called him the stone. Because a shepherd, you know what a stone is in the desert. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. The shitty day. You can get under the rock, brother. Amen. Hide me under the rock, Jehovah. Hide me. Amen. Moses knew about that rock too. Amen. He died on that rock. Hallelujah. David talked about the rock in the weary land. That very stone. Amen. Daniel saw him. Why would God reveal himself to his people in these forms, in these symbols? Why would God want his people to know he's a stone? A stone cut out of our hands. A stone that could smite. Amen. A stone that's going to become a foundation. A stone that's going to take over everything that man built. Amen. Hallelujah. Why would God reveal himself like that? What thoughts do God want to communicate? Why would God want us to fellowship with him in this kind of manner? A rock that could come. Amen. And he saw that rock coming in a certain time. The coming of the rock. The coming of Christ, the coming of the Lord, is the seventh seal, whatever you want to call it, amen. But brother, when that rock comes to your earth and that rock begins to smite, amen, let me tell you, he's going to break down every man-made image. It might shine with the glory of this world. It might be full of wealth and riches and power and the glory of man. But as far as God is concerned, that is not the rock, that is not the image he wants in your earth. He wants another image, a pyramid image. Hallelujah. That the rock himself going to grow and become that very mountain. Become that new image inside of your earth. Glory be to God. I believe it. Amen. Yes, sir. Because this earth is a type of me. This earth was God's attribute. This earth is going to be a place that God is going to redeem and live in. And God will dwell in this earth. Is that right? That the Bible, because the same plan of redemption for the earth is the same plan for man. Amen. This earth, man's kingdoms, man's civilization, what man built up, amen, in himself, his education and science and his culture and these things, it was symbolized as an image. Amen. But in the days of the 10 kings, in the days of those 10 toes, in the latter days, in the last days, in these days, that will be the time of the coming of the rock. And the rock ain't coming to try to live in the earth together with the image. He's coming to destroy the image. He's coming to smite the image. He's coming to drive it off completely where it can't even be found no more. He's going to do that in this physical earth, and he's going to do that inside this spiritual earth also. Amen. So I trust this morning that we will look into his word as we speak on the stone that smote the image. The Holy Ghost himself, the seal of God, the headstone, the rock. Amen. The coming of the Lord. This great thing that's happening, that is unfolding right now. May we see it with eyes of revelation. Because, you know, some years ago I had taken Daniel and Revelation and putting them together. And then we had taken a series where Daniel heard the same thing John heard. How Daniel heard those 7 thunders. And the book of Daniel, and especially in recent times and what is happening, I just felt so moved, so compelled, you know, to go back to the book of Daniel. Because this is the hour when Daniel end time prophecies been made manifest. Amen. And you know, thinking about it, how they talking about the new world order and these things coming. And I know that what is going to be when the east and west come together. When all these kings give their power and strength unto the beast. When the kings of the earth is going to come under the Roman headship. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the hour when that rock is going to smite them images. When they're going to come against Israel back there. And as we were saying last week, you know, it seems so far-fetched with the type of world we had and type of world and society that we had lived in for over 40, 50 years after World War II. In the Cold Wars and the two superpowers standing off and they're fighting way back in Eisenhower and Khrushchev time when the iron and clay couldn't mix. Amen. He took over Khrushchev, took over Shun, beat it on the desk of the United Nations meeting. The same United Nations here that is united and standing here today. And is showing that this is what we haven't planned on writing and couldn't come into effect for 50 years. Now is a new type of society coming in where the things and the plans of the United Nations could be made manifest. Amen. And now they stand there united. We see it. And they talk about this new world order coming in, and it, they'll call it one thing, but it does not blind a Christian to whom the seven seals have been opened to, who have understood the end time prophecy of the Gentile prophet. The Gentiles had a prophet before the Gentile dispensation was destroyed. And Gentiles who was heathens, who didn't know about God, that prophet came and brought their mystery and the revelation of God to them. He was a light unto the Gentiles. Amen. And open these things. And here in this hour, we are being filled with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know He has a kingdom coming. We pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just the Lord's Prayer to recite like a creed, but it's a reality. The kingdom is coming. When we say, Our Father, we know who Elohim is. We know we're not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. We know we're not the son of some man and woman. Amen. Your mother and father only produced the body. But that soul that comes from the loins of God, which art in heaven, you know you are a spirit son and a spirit daughter of a spirit God in a flesh body. You come from God. You come from heaven. Heaven consists of the Word. Your name is written in a book in heaven even before you had a birth certificate in the warden office. Yeah. Hallelujah! Your name was in a book in heaven. Even before some of you had Godfather and Godmother. Amen. Trying to give you a name. Even before your parents look at the name book. Hallelujah. To find a name. Hallelujah. It was written there. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. It revealed to us in the seven thunders. We know the name is a holy name. We speak it with reverence. We speak it with joy. Because He gives us part of the same name. It was a threefold mystery of the name of my God. The name of the city of my God and my new name. Amen. It's written in my forehead. I can say, Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Thy kingdom come. I'll be in your kingdom. Your name is in my forehead. I'll worship you. Glory be to God. Amen. Look at the New Jerusalem. They had His name written in their forehead in the New Jerusalem. But we find out it was bitten the sixth and seventh seal. It was bitten the sixth and seventh trumpet when the name was being written in the forehead. But they had it already in the forehead when there was in the New Jerusalem. He didn't write it down there. Up here he's writing it now. That's the coming of the Holy Ghost now. Our Father, not Mr. God. He started off praying. He couldn't pray. He said, Mr. God, I'll write you a letter. But he said, when the seals opened, I found out. When the angel came and showed me a name in the book, I stopped saying Mr. God. I said, Papa God now. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Because I'm part of Him. He cannot deny me. I came from Him and I'm going back to Him. Amen. Oh, we are talking about not to be sacrilegious, not to be critical. You know, we some of the brothers are fellowshipping, and you know, some was wondering, some was believing, some was talking about it. They said, my, they found the cave, so on, they're so happy. I said the same thing I had to say way back in 1979, the first time I walked in the Arizona desert. I said, when you find the cave, you just meet the angel who come to the cave, and he revealed to you a strange life. And when you leave the cave, you can face the world with a seventh grade education. Hallelujah! But I found the cave years ago. Not only found the cave, I met the angel in the cave. He revealed to me who I am in the cave. And they find a penny in the cave. But the angel come with a penny. He come to give the same penny. Amen! Hallelujah! If you're in that cave, you will get the penny. Only those who meet the angel in that cave, when he revealed to you a strange life, take the fears out of you. You can face the world with a seventh grade education. When they come out of there, Lord, I am with you always. Amen. Glory. You don't have to be afraid. You in that cage, that light has come down. And he tell you who he is, and he reveals to you who you are. And the heavenly angel and the earthly one is meet together. Have a union between God and man in that case. If you're in geography and historical things and think of museums and garnishing tombs and caves, that's up to you. Amen. But glory be to God. Hallelujah. In that real cave. When you meet him inside of there, brother, your fears are over. Amen. Thank God I'm free. Amen. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, you look and you see, but the thing that's coming, and I look at the present conditions and this new world order and knowing what it means, and then they call it in their terms, but the seven seas have been opened, friends. And we know in the world, Satan's Eden has been built for 6,000 years. He took us back into Isaiah 14 and said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" And we see what he had in his mind. We know why he came into the serpent. Oh, and God let him come into flesh in the serpent to show us the beast in the beginning, so we know the beast at the end. Exactly right. So, you know, God let those things happen back there. That he's going to permit Satan to come into flesh. Because he wanted to impersonate God who is going to be in flesh. So it's not strange to the believer. In this hour, when you see they talk about a new world order, and you know, the United Nations and so on. So, oh, it sounds, you know, all right and in a political way for the people and a better physical society. But to the believer, they see the time clock striking the hour. They don't see United Nations, they see 10 toes. Amen. Glory. But they see the Roman power at work. They see these who give the strength and power to Nimrod. This is the mighty hunter on his hunt, on an oil hunt now. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Sure. But you look and you see and you understand what's happening. It don't confuse you and blow your mind and get you all confused. No. Because the seven seals are open. The believer is walking in the light. Yeah. Amen. And but as you walk in the light is unfolding. Oh, it illuminates your life. It illuminates your way. You're not seeing through a glass darkly no more. You're not confused. Your mind is not blown with propaganda. You're not exploited by the media. No, you're not being manipulated by politicians. You've been set free by the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth. I'll open the seven seals. Malachi 4, speak them seven thunders. Amen. It revealed you the threefold secret in the back part of my mind. I'll show you Satan five I wills. You'll not be confused. Hallelujah! You will see the two kings and the kingdoms. You'll know what the end is going to be. Choose this day whom you'll serve. Glory be to God, amen. God have laid his word out. God have laid it out. That's what believing is. Our takes a stand, my brother. You take a stand, stranger. You don't sit on the air and wonder, I go to this church this week. I go to that church next week. I wonder about this. No. This world order. This cosmos. Is fixing to be annihilated. This civilization is coming to an end just like the one in Noah's time. May we recognize God provided a way of escape. May we stop being so, you know, childish where we can't accept the deeper things of the Bible. Amen. Where we can't accept the vindicated word of God. May we not be entangling people's theology and man's ambition to hold people to themselves and keep them herded up in denominations. May we break loose of those things and see what God's word says and be mature and sincere to accept it. May we realize that a man or woman, when they leave this earth, when this body is expired, they will appear before God, amen, to give an account of the deeds done in this body. It don't end here. It don't end with your worldly achievements. It don't end with your higher education. It don't end with your worldly ambition. It don't end with those things. No, sir. You will have to end up before the throne of God and say, what you did with Jesus Christ. What you did with the word that was presented unto you. So when we know those things, oh my, we want to walk sanely. We want to walk intelligently. We want to walk close. Is that right? We want to stay with His Word. When we can look in the Bible, in the pages of the Bible, we can open this Bible and look in its pages and see things were spoken thousands of years before it happened. A man, where a man jumped a dream, couldn't even remember his dream. And next man could tell him his dream, tell him what it meant. Spoke of things thousands of years to come and then see it come exactly. It would be paradoxical if you had just heard a dream and maybe give an interpretation and come to pass. But look how God made it. God showed man had nothing to do with it. Daniel said, God, give you the dream. God, give me the interpretation. He said, God, bring in these kingdoms until God bring in His own kingdom. You, me, and nobody else have nothing to do with it. God wanted so. And when we stand back, it might be something to debate or dispute. I know doubt many did. When they stood back looking forward, wondering if that could be, if that would happen. When they tried to analyze the politics of the day, when they were the position of the nations, when they see those things happen, word being spoken. In economics, this nation have all the resources, we have the allies, we have the strategic places, it looks impossible to happen. All the nations look to us. How could we fall? But before it even fell, God had done tell Daniel, to tell Nebuchadnezzar, I just put up kings and remove kings. Amen. I didn't sing king. Because you know later on, if you read the book of Daniel, he went back there and he stood up one day and called the end. He said, man, look what I have this. Look at the glory of Babylon. Look at my achievements. I'm a great man today. And then the voice spoke directly at the same moment and says, this very moment, they're going to drive you out to this place. While he's talking that big and giving that, a coup was on the way. Within his own government, they drive him out. Is that right? Yeah. And God said, you're going to come back to your seat too, and you're going to take back up your power. But I'll give you that experience so you'll know to humble yourself. You'll sing a different song when you come back here. Sure! I ain't taking it through, and I'm shaking you up a little bit. Let you come back and see things through our different glasses. Exactly right. Go play with God. Amen. See, God is just have His way. And His ways are wonderful. It's the best way. A man is a fool to want to compete with God to begin with. A man just wholly humble himself and accept the ways of God. And say, your ways are higher than my ways, Lord. And your thoughts are higher than my God. Whom hath known the man of the Lord? His ways are past finding out. How unsearchable are His judgments. Is that right? Yeah. Exactly right. So it's coming in. As it comes in and we see it move in the air. You know, I struck that inspiration for the silver, gold, the mark of the beast. And I says, my, you know, that was going to help too. Because this whole world system that's coming here is going to be controlled by economics. And the church is the one behind it. And very soon, you watch and see the Lord's going to kind of come out to put us down. So I know that that was going to end up to be. So we started there, picking up that inspiration. We still got in the mark of the beast. And then preaching about the 11th hour Gentile workers. To show that when those things are happening, God has not neglected His people. God has not abandoned His program. That is in that hour. While God has political powers bound up, they can't be let loose. He is working with spiritual power among His elect. Is that right? Hold them wings! That I might seal. Sure. And it shows that in the midst of war, in the midst of what politicians want to do, in the midst of what laws want to pass, in the midst of they show arm and when they use their weapons, they have to be bunged up. Because God see something more important than all their fight and all the big noise and everything else. My little elect need the Holy Ghost. I want to give them the Holy Ghost. I die on Calvary that they might get the Holy Ghost. Anyhow you take it, all these kingdoms going to come to naught. So let me speak about my people who come in my kingdom. I can't leave the more important matters unattended to. Hallelujah! The more important matters is to seal you, amen, with the Holy Ghost. But we God's people many times so underestimate God and leave God things unattended to and try to help prop up man things and hold up man kingdom, because we might starve, we might not be able to build a house, we might not be able to do that, we might not be able to pay rent, we might not be able to do those things, and we have to help prop up man kingdom and leave God things unattended to. And God is showing you in His word how this whole thing is going to fall apart. And the real thing is, what, even right now, while you have them, just hold them tight and don't even let them go until I come back here and I tell you it is finished. Amen! Ezekiel and I, we took it last week. He came back here. It is done as I was commanded. So, bind up them powers. And if the days are cut short, it's a quick short thing too. He's moving from place to place, moving through the churches. Quick short message, shake up here, move inside of here, amen. Root this one out, shake up this one home, set this one in order here, break up these things, bust up this one world, deliver them, seal them up, amen. Hallelujah! Sometimes you think everything going in a chaotic condition. No, it's God's love pulling you out quickly, delivering you, amen. It may take you a little time when you sit down and reflect back of God's ways are unusual. And you always find Him in unusual things. And it's happening a little different than the way you expect it. But you learn to appreciate it anyhow. And you say, Lord, if you give me a chance to come out, I wouldn't come out in the next 10 years. Until I finish this, finish that, finish that. And I had these other things here. You know, this flower rising here to put in the oven just now too. You know what I mean? Sure, you had it all needed. You spent all the energies needing it up to put it in the oven. That's just talking symbolic. But you see, God, He's in charge and bring these messages in the light of the present conditions and situations and trying to find a place in the church where we are standing. You see, we know we are seeing what we're seeing. But then we want to not just see those things alone, but see what God is doing. And see why we don't need to be intimidated and wonder those things going to overpower us or hinder our plans. It's not our plans. Our plans are the revelation of God's will. If you know what God's will is and you plan according to God's will and you get inspiration for your plan and because of God's will revealed to you. But if you try to plan against God's revealed will, your will is going to be busted up. God's not going to honor it. But when God's will has been revealed to you, and you begin to get in line, because that's what the nation's doing, because this whole world changed and they try to get in line with that coming agenda. And we know how to move in place or get left behind and get in God's agenda too. God's spiritual agenda. Is that right? Sure. And as we walk here, we see those things coming in the horizon. Those are the things we are faced with. That's the world today that opposes us, that influences us, controls us, intimidates us, confronts us as an obstacle in our path. But then we are seeing that we have no need to be afraid of it. God has it under His control. There's angels standing there, holding them. Amen. They can't move. Whatever space them is what God gives them. And though you may think you're so puny, you come in the last hour and everything else, God's not going to start with you. God's not going to start with you. And He's not holding them back because it's you on the mind. So in the midst of all this war and chaos, His elect to receive the Holy Ghost is what's in God's mind. And if you know what's in God's mind, and then you see it is in your favor, how does it make you happy? How does it make you yielded to Him? How does it want to make you praise Him and appreciate Him to see in the midst of all these things? But sometimes fathers and mothers get so taken up in the activities of the home and what they have to do that they cannot pay attention to the children. Go down this is Simo down that Simo down this is do. And to think in God's house here in this world, in this big world going on here, God is thinking about you amidst all the chaos. Amidst all the activities and men want to blow the world apart and take it over and everything else, God is thinking about you. I tell you, to realize that, my friend, it takes your fears away. It makes your efforts look so puny. It makes all your planning look like nothing. But God has already planned for you. A plan that He will not change. A plan that cannot change. A plan that cannot fail. He has decreed that already for you. And that's why 1 John 5 says, if you ask according to His will, we have the petition we desire of Him. His will has been revealed. His will is His word. His word, the program for this age, which you are part of that program, has been revealed to you as the promise of this hour. And when you ask according to His will, His already expressed desire, you have the confidence that the petition you desire of Him, that you have received it. You walk with God, and you live with God in that principle. You walk with God in that relationship right there. You hold God to His word. Let me tell you, things will move back. They have to move back. Because that's the key that opens up the door. Amen. That's what He wants to do this morning in this service for you. Open up them doors. Take that stress off of you. Break that frustration right away from you. Amen. But that rod and that shepherd hand was to lift the oppression of Egypt, remove the problems from around the people, amen, and get them ready for deliverance. It will not come nigh you, amen. I've come to take my people back. Glory be to God, I have a land with milk and honey waiting for them. Hallelujah. Amen. No red tree before them, no enemy behind them, no nothing going to take a hold of them. I'm going to bring them out like a mother eagle. Flutter to the young ones in her. Amen. Gain you on eagle's wings. Amen. Where's your domestic problem now? You have a domestic problem? You have a financial problem now? You have some kind of problem confusing and oppressing you? You can't have joy now? Let me tell you, in the face of the word, those things disintegrate. It's how foolish they are. It's that the devil talks. Amen. Considering these things. Glory. Stand still. Amen. Fear not. This is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. And the Lord is mighty in battle. But the three things happened when that stone came. When that stone came, first it was the coming of that stone being revealed. But the coming of the intent to smite. Amen. To destroy that image. Is that right? Then the second thing happened. When that stone came the second time, in the second phase of that, the coming of that stone smote the image. And then that stone became the mountain. Amen. It's coming has already been revealed. Who you think is that? You think the one who come in Revelation 10 is different to the stone? Is he the stone or is he not the stone? Amen. See? Sure. I mean, Daniel didn't say all what he was going to do before he's coming and smiting the image. But Daniel says he's coming cut out of our hands. And that's the one who has come. But here he's unfolding us what he's doing before he smite them 10 toes. We know what he's doing right now. That's Revelation 19, but Revelation 10, that stone is coming. No man didn't bring him. He came to himself. Glory. Because his bride is in that very hour, dear. Which when we get this book of Daniel and you see. You see, I'm trying not to just bring it in the form of teaching alone, but I want to preach a little bit to pick up some of the places and even bring certain things that I feel will be necessary on a personal level. On a way that even the children could get it. On a way that it could affect us. To see the word, you know, sometimes we just take this thing and just put it on a political level and there, but the word of God can apply to different levels. And where we can draw and emphasize according to what we have need of is where we want to emphasize certain things by the grace of God too. I'm talking on a personal level of the other image in the other earth. And they come into that stone now, destroying that image, to take up that place in your earth and be the one ruling in your earth. Not the Babylonian thing you have there, all glittering so nice, shiny and well polished up. But it was the same man that he said, "You are the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. You are the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. I build it." God give you that home. If God give them children, God give that car. If God give that nice yacht or plane. Hallelujah! Not I do nothing, God give you, amen. The Lord give me, the Lord put me there. Because that whole man was seeing the outward. But when God showed Daniel the same four kingdoms, he showed him as four beasts. Is that right? A lion, a leopard, a bear, and a hideous beast. God was showing now the spirit behind all that pomp and glamour. Outwardly, man sees the glory and the riches and the majesty of those kingdoms. Oh, they go to New York and they see the parks and they see the avenues and they see the Empire State Building and they see the Statue of Liberty. Oh, man, and they ride in the subway. And then you read the rotting of the Big Apple. You hear about the children being shot, straight bullets, right there in their bed, sleeping, not even safe, locked up in their own home and they're paying a rent for. Sure. You hear about the mayor talking about you want 5,000 more police to win back the streets. Where did God show now the other side now? He's not showing now the glory of the city now, the greatest financial capital of the world. God is not showing that now. God is showing the spirit inside of there now. His hoodlums, prostitutes, drug addicts, crooked governors, all kind of crooked politicians inside of rotten. That's where it really is. More people dying there. 880 people are reading. They give a statistic. They say in the first 5 months of this year, 880 people killed. And you don't know who that have been shot on these things. Homicide you're talking about. You ain't talking about road deaths yet. You ain't talking about, let's say, who died of air pollution and all kind of, you know, toxic waste and these things. You ain't talking about that yet. You ain't talking about rapes and robberies yet. And I say, if somebody say, you know, I think again I'll work. And two people say again I'll work. One say I'm going to the States, I'm going to New York, and next one say, I get a little job in Kuwait. I mean, the man in Kuwait could be safer. I need to go to Kuwait right now than in New York. Sure. Because statistical proof to you, more people are being killed and murdered while walking in a place and say they have peace. And you ain't see no tanks, you ain't see no fighter bombers, you ain't see no nothing around the place. And it's safe to walk in the street. But the propaganda that shows just one side. I'm making a peace over here, and then more people being brutally murdered. And all kind of mischief being planned on the other side. When God of God is sin and filth. You see? But man have to structure things because of the political ambitions. And that is why in the book of Daniel, when God had uncovered it, he showed the kingdoms, he showed the men, he showed the outward glory. He showed the spirit behind the nations. And when Daniel saw it, then God showed him also what God was going to do with them too. In the earth. And they think of the courage. But you see, a prophet is not an ordinary man. That word, like God told Jeremiah, he said, I'll confound you before them if you don't say it. He'll tell Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold and you are going to be removed. Your kingdom, there's a world power right now, would be removed by a weaker kingdom than you. Let me tell you, he could get his debt for that. To pronounce a coming judgment on the man kingdom. What he taught was his great achievements. All the battles they fought, all the scientists, all the glory, all the trade and commerce, all the prosperity. And here he was a slave in that kingdom. God is a slave to come out there before the emperor and tell him the kingdom would be removed. Sometimes what God requires us and he stands to make for the word. Some of us just claim the same spirit that Daniel and them had and came talk to the neighbor. Can't talk to the boss on the job sometimes. It's a fearful thing if you and yourself are to talk to them. But if the Holy Ghost put in your heart to speak to them, the Holy Ghost don't afraid nobody. Go on. He don't have fight. The Holy Ghost don't have fight nobody, you know. Just the authority of God's word, the revelation of God's love, the power of God's spirit. Instead, the man get furious, the man bow down and started to worship Daniel God. Look what the word did. If he's trying to think, well, this man wanted to kill people, they can't tell him the dream. Much less will this man hear the interpretation. How is this man going to get on when he see that judgment for him and this is the interpretation? Not me, I ain't going to say that. If Daniel had thought so, it would have happened. But he spoke as a servant of God, knowing God takes care of his word. Sometimes you have bridges to cross. You kind of wonder what's going to happen. You're trying to find an escape route, trying to find a shortcut, trying to go another way. And the very way you're trying to bypass is the way for your personal deliverance. It's the way to strengthen you. It's the way for God to show his glory and his power and confirm his promise and blessing and show his true identification with you. Very thing to answer your prayer. For God to show he's with you and show the world you are his servant. You are his elect. But the way it might be presented to you, for that to be confirmed, you may want it in circumstances where you don't have to put your life at risk. But when you walk by sight, those things bother you. But when you become a prisoner of his word, you don't think your own thoughts. Amen. That's why when we hear the word and we see in the word the nature of God being revealed and the way God worked with his people and these things were for all examples, then we pray, oh God, make me like that. Oh God, strengthen me. Lord, this fear is not of you. Take that away and give me that spirit in your word, what your word is showing the air. For you are still that same God. That's where you hear the word. You hear the word conscious of what your needs are. As the word shines the light and say, look, you're weak here, but look what hardship will be strong here. Look what you're doing here, but look what the right behavior over here is. You're just learning the mysteries and so on of it, but you're seeing in there God, life being revealed and expressed. It's in your shape and your condition. And you're seeing what you need to be. So there's always a room to advance forward. So you can never be stagnated. You're advancing forward as your word comes forth. It keeps showing you that you are walking into the stature of a perfect man. You are feeding upon the word. Word upon word upon word upon word. Growing up in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Oh, it's a tremendous thing. That what I was trying to express last week about the power of God. I mean, you can see the power of the word. The power of God is so great that we only know things in the form like a visible manifestation. Unless we don't manifest in a visible way where our senses can relate it, then only we can identify with it. But once it's there flowing, unseen, powerful, doing things in a silent way, we are unaware of it. We wonder if it exists. We wonder if it's going on. We wonder if it's a come or it's already happened. But when God can bring us into the realm where we see every move that God makes, his supreme power makes that move. Every word God speaks is omnipotent, speaks that word. What did he say? Herod that fox, oh let there be light, is infinite wisdom. Sure! God! God's life being revealed in a person. God's word being realized in a human heart. When that word begins to move you, and you move under the inspiration of the word, there is nothing that could stand before it because it's God's eyes you are looking through. It's God's heart you are relating to the situation that is before you. And God's faith in your heart, God's very own heart in you, heart that is turned back by the revelation of God's word. But you just knowing you are walking in his will, you just keep walking. Like old man moving, there will be a hole in that wall. By the time you get there, that hole will be there. Glory be to God. Just keep walking. Amen. Inline walking. Amen. Let's move on a little bit. Amen. The heat blows, hot winds blows. Amen. Across the congregation. It blows. Let's just fan it away with faith. Push it away, amen. And rise a little higher. Rather get sluggish in our minds. Because His word, His presence is here. Amen. So real in our hearts. So, as I said, it's coming in. And in that confusion, the Christian of what is happening, they are looking and seeing it over the horizon. The prophet said, man, the tower stands there and you see a cloud of dust and it's blowing coming. That man climbs up there with a telescope and he looks out there. He says, 500 riders armed with bows and arrows making an assault coming at 40 miles per hour on horseback. But the people get ready. It gives distinction. It gives definition to what seems obscure out there. That's what the prophetic eyes of God, the revelation of God's word does. When these things arise on the scene, and look like a massive confusion of nations and, just chaos out there. The word says, no, that is the scripture here coming to pass. That is this happening here. We live in this hour here. Get ready. Amen. God is fixing to move with us. That means it's time for these things.
Sure.
And we can relate to it. And that is what is happening. And this book of Daniel, you know, knowing that inside it speaks of the kings and kingdoms that are going to rule this world. The time of the Gentiles until the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is established. Until we cease to pray, thy kingdom come. Because kingdom will be here established, because there will be no other kingdom. The kingdom that Satan offered him will be no more. Because he didn't want no science civilization. He was going to bring a faith civilization. His blood was going to bring it back. And Daniel looked in his vision and he began to see those things. You know, I could imagine when he went in there and began to pray. He knelt in prayer. It was going to take supernatural power. And I preached the message using this text some time ago on images and voices now, but then our bodies. And showing how for him to dream that dream and then cannot remember it. Like I say, you're putting a tape in a deck to tape something. A videotape. But you forget to press the record button. So after the whole image and everything passed, the picture passed, like he saw it in the dream, when he came back out, he had a blank tape. He could remember nothing. As much as I had to pull through the sense of memory, there was nothing in the subconscious mind to bring it. He couldn't bring it up. There was a block in the transmission from subconscious to conscious. Had a blank mind, couldn't get it. And he tried to pull from the expertise and the knowledge of the occult sciences and these things, of his magicians and soothsayers and mediums and these people, who he thought was an authority in the spirit world. Because in that part of the world, that region, they had so believed in dreams and these things, because a dream is like a phenomenal thing. What are you seeing that is while you're asleep? And these lies, images in technicolor. But it's been explained to us, these things are no more mysteries. Prophet said, God make a man subconscious way back here, he don't even dream. God bring it here, he dreams while he's asleep. He said, God bring it here, and he sees it while he's awake. Amen. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar, God was transmitting something to him. And while he was there, he was seeing it, but he couldn't record it to replay it. And he wanted a replay and couldn't get a replay. But Daniel knew, if something was transmitted, whoever source, whoever station made that broadcast, whoever transmit that picture, amen, into the ether waves, bring it down to the man's of conscience, amen. Wherever that, whoever station that broadcast originate with, who is the director of that show, amen. He believed, if I could use my special channel that he has, that I from the line of Judah, I'm the royal seed. Amen. He himself is going to be from this seed. That bird could break into that realm and get a replay
from the studio itself. So that's exactly what he did. Because the tape was in the library. Glory. And Daniel is a member, an honored member of that library. And he had access to a special viewing of that broadcast. And he sat in the night vision. It was revealed to Daniel. And when he came with his revelation to describe back what the man dreamed and couldn't remember. So he had to see it back. And if you have a seat back, it means have a rerun of the same program. Selected audience, selected viewing. The same thing was shown at two different locations. In Nebuchadnezzar bedroom and in Daniel bedroom. Hallelujah. But I saw it. And Daniel could understand that kind of picture. Because he saw the thoughts of the producer and the director being expressed. But Nebuchadnezzar was a mystery to him. He didn't understand that. All he knew is Babylonian business. All he acquainted with was going to come from a Babylonian station. But this station was from heaven. You mean to say the dreams that you dream is stored up somewhere? And could be reshown? What kind of library is that? That another person could go in that library and see over your dream? Is that real? He saw six of them, and then he saw the heavenly vision come in. Says, is this the time? Read it and see. Is that right? Is that Brother Junior Jackson came to me and told me the dream? But before I can speak, I said, wait, Junior, I'll tell you what you dreamt. But that viewing was so fast from that satellite. It flashed that picture so far, faster than the speed of light. Amen. Flew across here without a screen. And he looked there and he said, don't tell me, I'll tell you what you dream. And then one time, you dream something while they're telling the dream, he looked at the program here, and he's going to leave out a whole important part of the dream. He said, no, you left out so, right between here and here, it had a park like that. He said, oh yes, and I remember it. He said, how come you know that? He's an honored member in the same library. Amen. And what am I saying? In the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, there was the operation of the supernatural. Amen. The supernatural is an operation. And when we come to the ending of the Gentile dispensation, watch all the supernatural things going to come back. Because Malachi foreknew he was in that fourth kingdom. He knew he was in the time of the ten toes. He tell us what Eisenhower and Khrushchev. He tell us Eisenhower mean iron and Khrushchev mean clay. Is that right? He knew this was Mystery Babylon. Is he came and preached Tower of Babel. Handwriting on the wall. He took Babylon in the beginning of the Bible. Tower of Babel. Then he came in the middle of the Bible. Handwriting on the wall. Babylon in the middle of the Bible. Then it comes Red Harlot, Mystery Babylon, in the last days, Babylon denomination. Babylon, Revelation 17. And it begins to uncover Babylon. And then it begins to show the tower here again. Then it begins to reveal the mystery and writing in the mystery wall of the Mystery Babylon. Because there was a handwriting on this wall saying to Babylon is fallen. You are waiting the balance, your sin is come up unto God. That's seven vial, and God will destroy you. You'll be stoned with hailstones. Is that right? He saw it. He knew he was that prophet in Mystery Babylon, revealing the handwriting on the wall. And he was revealed, and United Diamond Sign, he said, that's the matter of the clergy today. They can't read the handwriting on the wall, but we have been reading it in the tabernacle here. He said, we in the tabernacle have been reading it because we know what it is. He said, with a message of unknown tongues, a sign of death. It spoke of judgment. He said, that's what all his tongues speaking is today. Because it came in with the issuing of the Gentile kingdom. What kind of mind was that? Was breaking into a place where the church would be able to move in. We could take the church into a place and the church could view through God's eyes the position of the nations. What is happening? How it relate to us? What is fixing to take place? How are we going to be smitten in judgment? How the rock is here in our hands? Daniel could have told Nebuchadnezzar not only about the image and not only about the head of gold and the ties of brass, he could tell him also about the rock. The heavenly part of it. Because the earthly part was man, what man was down here on the earth. But the heavenly part was that one coming from heaven. That other kingdom was starting from heaven coming to earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray thy kingdom come. Let it come to earth. Daniel saw it. And when Jesus was here, the very stone himself, who was disallowed of men but chosen of God, a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling, he was preaching to them and telling them, pray thy kingdom come. Amen. They tried to make him king and he still will not become king. He disappeared from them. They come to us and they said, art thou the king? He says, I am. Because he knew, the wise man had seen the star, he was born king of the Jews. But he knew it was not even time to come into it, because that stone is going to come in the days of the 10 toes, shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom. When Revelation 10 is being fulfilled in the days of the 10 toes. When that stone, and Malachi foreknew that stone had come, and that stone was in him, being revealed. For that stone was Jesus Christ, Elohim, the last sign before the Gentile world is burned with fire. Is that right? Holy scriptures, I don't want to get too wide. I'm trying to stay close and local this morning. But you get in the word, it begins to open wide and we go into a lot of different things. But I want to just stay right in where it's going to stay just close to you. And let the word create a feeling in your heart. You want to not live under depression, and fears and doubts and wonderings. But you can rise and be courageous. You can trust God. You can know God is working for you right now. You can want to yield yourself to him. That is where I want to create that feeling in your heart by the word. Pull your problems off.
Amen.
Now watch as we go in a little further. Let me read the scripture with you. Matthew 21. The stone that smote the image. What a stone that is. Now remember, that stone, the same way the head of gold meant Nebuchadnezzar, the stone meant Jesus. Is that right? Daniel said, you, Nebuchadnezzar, is this head of gold. And that stone was Jesus Christ, the rock. The coming of the rock. Oh my, coming in judgment upon the Gentile world. Coming to judge and make war. Coming to smite the nations. There's going to be a physical sense of it in Revelation 19. But there's a spiritual happening in Revelation 10. The same one in Revelation 10 and the same one in Revelation 19. And he's smiting that image in your earth right now. He's grinding that to powder. He's removing that. And he's becoming that rock in your earth. That kingdom that shall not be moved right now. In Revelation 10. Is that right? This is the secret. The rock is in the earth. Say it how you want. The world is in the bride. The king is in the city. You can say what you want. Amen. Is he? I'm trying to catch in the word where he is. Now, if he's coming. Remember Billy Porter in the dream. There's a man that can turn on the light. He said, Brother Bram, fire is flying from your eyes. The great rock was going to come. He stood there and says, it's midnight. Jesus will come by morning. He said, a man rises up and says, that can't be. No man knows the day or the hour. He said, I never said the hour. I said, between now or morning or daybreak. Is that right? You remember it? He said it was a dream that came to him from the Lord. Alright. I want to show the prophets. I'm not bringing this, trying to be spiritual, trying to spiritualize. I want to show you the coming of that rock is Revelation 10. That's the coming of the Lord. He comes in the days of those 10 kings. And that word was smiting every denomination. Smote the image of the beast. Put spiritual death upon it. Is that correct? It shall never rise no more. Amen. God is going to destroy it with the atomic bomb. Sure, he spoke it. Who was doing that? With the rock in the prophet. Who is that rock? The Son of Man being revealed. Because the Son of Man is the sign that the Gentile dispensation is over. And Son of David is coming for the kingdom of the rock. This world is falling apart and the millennium is being ushered in. In other words, the 10 toes are fixing to be smitten and the rock is fixing to fill the whole earth. And we're in an interval between Satan's Eden and God restored Eden. Right here. We take these things back and forth, but I'm just taking through this channel. That's why I don't just want to take it in ways like the dispensation and places, you know, but I want to take it on a personal level of the mystery coming of that rock. That rock in the prophet had to put judgment on all them denominations. Had to put judgment on the world. It couldn't come in nothing else. It had to come and smite. It was a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. It was grace to the believers who would fall on the rock and be broken. But it was judgment to those whom the rock fallen and drunk the powder. Let me say this morning. Don't let the rock fall on you, brother. The rock have had to fall on some people here that could never come back. You could try to bring them back. You could try to baby them. You could try to put them in the seat. They could never come back. They sit there twice as dead, plucked up by the roots. Sure. And those who fall on that rock, they get broken, but they lose their life and they find it in him. They get a foundation that they shall not be moved. Amen! Watch the wisdom of God in the one continuous revelation in the Bible, how it unfolds. Matthew 21, verse 33. Jesus speaking a parable. If you remember my message here some years ago, 1984, on the wine press of the great wrath of God. He says, yeah, verse 33, another parable. There was a certain householder who planted a vineyard and hedged around about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to husbandmen, let it out to husbandmen, or leased it to tenant farmers, and went into a far country. Now all them Jews on the story is talking about, because all them knew what it is to have a vineyard. And you don't have unless you're selling your grapes as and you're producing wine out of your own grapes, you won't have a wine press. But as long as you're making your own wine, which in their worship and their way of life, they must have wine too. They had their own wine press next to the vineyard. And then they had, because of the grapes and foxes and these things, they had to hedge it around many times to keep all them foxes that spoil the vine. Is that right?
Sure.
They all knew he's talking about. He's bringing a mystery of him and his kingdom in terminology that they could have a picture to illustrate the deeper meaning of what he's really bringing to them. And when the time the fruit drew nigh, coming close to harvest time, he sent his servants to the farmers that they might receive the fruits of it. And the farmers, the husbandmen, took his servants and beat one, killed the other, stoned another. Why?
Because what if servants they walk in, the person they walk through the door, somebody bring a little glass of wine, trying to come and sit on the shade, and you see a big hole in the fence.
He said, how did you keep a big hole in the fence like this? Do you know foxes are going to come in? Look at one right now coming in the air and destroying the vineyard. How could they have that? It's negligence. It was them prophets. Whenever they come to the church and they found the altars being broken down, they found all kind of groves being raised up, they rebuked them and they killed the prophets and they stoned them and they run them. But the prophets didn't come on their own. They were sent by the one who owned the vineyard. And the priests and the clergy that he gave to take care of the church and to watch over it and to carry out the sacrifice and to keep the Sabbath and to do these things, they wasn't doing it. And they had the whole work of God in disrepute. Verse 36, and again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same unto them. You hear about Isaiah was son of Sunder, Zechariah who died in the porch in the altar. Is that right? You hear Abel who was slain. You hear about Jeremiah who was thrown in prison. All of them through this. Jesus said, oh Jerusalem, you kill and stone all the prophets. He's preaching to them same people. But last of all, he said unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. That was he himself who is there now. All the prophets had died, from Abel to Zechariah. Even John, to be beheaded in the prison. And yet he himself was there now, the word amongst them. And now he knew they was conspired to kill him as he was going to Jerusalem. He tell the disciples, they'll offer him up into the hands of sinful men. Is that right? So what? Jesus now is bringing a message from Genesis to that present hour, even right down to him walking in that morning, going to the city right here. He showed how the whole program of God unfolded right down to his own life, even to the present hour. Even to the very thoughts of the clergy who he had come to, because them were the tenants. And the tenants was coming to kill him as they killed the prophets too. He said, you garnish it with the prophets, but all you put them inside of there. Is that right? Just like they killed Luther and Wesley and all them. Crucify the effects of the message in the pulpits too. Until Revelation 10 and 1 came, Billy Revelation 10 and 7 in this day. And they say, we'll kill him too and make our image unto the beast, and nobody will criticize us no more. We don't have this man tell us our denomination falls, and one can't preach, and our speaking in tongues is wrong, and nobody's going to tell us those things no more. But they failed to realize who is there amongst them. They failed to realize it. What? But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir come. It's a conspiracy, a religious conspiracy to kill the word. Watch it here. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And the Lord therefore of the vineyard, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? Revelation 19, when he comes, what is he going to do with them? When he meets the beasts and the kings and all them in the vineyard with the world state. And the big ecumenical move. And everybody worshiping the beast in the image with the mark in their forehead. What will he do with them? He'll throw them all into his great wine press. Is that right? He'll smite them. Sure. We know. You see it unfolding right now. They say unto him, he asked him the question, they answer no. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other tenants, unto other husbandmen, who shall render him the fruits in their season. No, he's answering them back now. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same as they come the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you. He caught them right in the way he wanted. He sneered them. Preaching his message, they don't know what he's talking about. It's them he's talking about, you know. Remember how Nathan do David? Or the man with the sheep, where all these men stole the other man's sheep and different things? Malachi 4, he said, get them. We don't want Micaiah walk out there with Zedekiah and Jehoshaphat, that man, that borderline believer standing there. Oh, he knew how to get them right there and tie them into a place in the world they couldn't move. And Jesus doing the same thing here. And here he brings it to them now. He takes them to the scripture and says, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same as become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it fall on, it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. What did the stone do when it struck the image? It ground it to powder, and the wind blew it away like the trash on a summer threshing floor. And Jesus is telling them, he is that stone. And he's that very stone that when he comes, what judgment is going to be executed upon them because they didn't know him. Because when that stone came in flesh in the form of a man, it was a stone of stumbling. But he said, when Daniel saw him, when he brought Daniel to the tomb on that Easter morning, what did Daniel say when he showed him the keys? He said, you are the one I saw. You are that rock cut out from the mountain without hands. Is that right? Ezekiel said, you are that wheel I saw, that wheel in the middle of the wheel. Abraham said, Sarah, isn't that the one who came and washed his feet? The judge of all the earth? It was he. But they didn't know him in flesh. And when that same rock come back in flesh in this day, they'll tabernacle in a man. Like he did in Sodom. They didn't know him either. It was a stone of stumbling. The builders in this day reject the coming of that stone. But that same stone who they reject will grind them to powder. But those who fell on that stone, as David said, bet I fall in the hands of God. Amen. Hallelujah! I'm willing to lose my life. I ain't coming against that word. I ain't trying to build my own program and deny the word and neglect the word and exalt my knowledge above the word. I hear the word speaking. I see what the word doing. Lord, help me to become part of this thing. I surrender. Whatever my plans are laid aside, let me fall on the word. You will be broken. Sure, you'll be broken, but not destroyed. Amen. Not destroyed. You will be remolded. Hallelujah. You will lose your life, but you'll find in him. He'll take all your perishable things and give you the imperishable things. So Jesus unfolding that he is the stone. First Peter come back and call him a stone. There's a lot of men. Paul talking about his stone. Unto the Bible, because they knew he was that stone. He is revealing the Bible as that stone. But look at this now. When did Daniel see him coming? Daniel saw him coming, not in the head of the gold, not in the thighs of brass, not in the legs of iron, but in the days of those 10 toes, where it's iron and clay. That time, he is going to come, and that time, these kingdoms will cease. He himself will destroy them. Now, under the seventh trumpet, it says, you want to read it? Let's read it. Revelation 11. So, my friends, you see all these things happening out there in the Middle East, and all these things moving there, and the New World coming in, and the 10 nations gathering up there, is the Roman power. Because the Roman power, that was legs of iron, take the form of 10 toes in the last days. But it is the Roman power, because it is the iron inside of them. It never went out of existence. So when things is being done under the name of United Nations and all those things, what is it, my friend? If Daniel prophecy have never failed, if we in this hour, when there's one who is here, now what's something? When that stone comes, in that day, how would we know the stone? By the characteristic, by the nature of the ministry of what the stone came to do. Is that right? If that stone was in that prophet, how do we know Christ is in the prophet? Because he did the same thing. It showed the nature, it showed the person, it showed the characteristic. God is identified by his own characteristics. He showed how he will reveal himself in that day. Then if that same Christ is still here, what would be the nature of that ministry? What would be the characteristic of that stone in the unfolding of its ministry from its coming to the setting of his kingdom? Because under that seventh seal, it even ends the ushering of the millennium. It begins with his coming. He leaves the Father's throne to do what? Take his own throne! But how can he take his throne if he don't get rid of the thrones and kings and kingdoms will all pass away? But there's something about that name. Is that right? Something about that name. But before he brings his kingdom, get it? In this world, this earth, in a physical sense, isn't that kingdom of God within you? Isn't that where it'll be established first? Does it begin spiritually in your life first? Is there an image in your heart? Is there an image reflecting this world? The Greeks was the learned people. The Babylonians, famous for the sciences and all the glory and all the power and all these different things. Is that right? The Romans, but they should, they build all the highways and they connect the whole world together and they get a system of laws and all these things. Sure, divide and conquer. So when you look at the Medes and the Persians, all the occult sciences, all the foretellers, all the astrologers, all the astronomers. Sure. Just reflecting the kingdom of the cosmos, the world order, the world system. And God just broke it in pieces. Then if, when he comes, in this day, if that stone is in any man or woman, and it comes to any earth, that word is going to go straight to that image, to break that image, if it's a worldly image in that earth. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sure. Exactly. You watch and see how those things fit in the world. You watch and see God's purpose in Revelation 11. Let's read it quickly. And close. Revelation 9:13-21. Revelation 9:13-21 is the sixth trumpet. Revelation 11:15-19 is the seventh trumpet. And Revelation 10 and Revelation 11 is between the sixth and seventh trumpet. The sealing of the bride and the sealing of the 144,000. Between them times. Is that right? And Revelation 11:15, all them kingdoms come to its end. Because the rock had come down Revelation 10. Right until he established his kingdom. Because he is judge between priest and king. His characteristic is judgment from the time he lived in the Father's throne until he began to set up his own throne. Son of man, one like the supreme judge. And that is when that stone comes between his priesthood and his kingship. That is the coming of that stone that is coming there. And brother, if you fall on that stone this morning, ask God to give you grace. Fall on that stone, children. Throw yourself on that stone. Be broken. Let him break your self-will. Let him break them bad habits. Let him break that spirit and exalt your own self. Let him break that habit that love the pleasure of the world. Let him break this. You can't treat your wife in a proper way. Let him break them. You can't rule your children how you should. Let him break them things. Let him break you. Amen. Because if you don't fall on him, he is going to fall on you. And when he fall on you, it would not be nice. He's going to crush you and grind you and sweep you away. He won't even know you existed when he finished you. The righteous will walk out on your ashes when he's finished with you. Sure. And the seventh angel sounded, Revelation 11:15, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, what Daniel saw, this world, this Gentile world, that fought down Israel all these years, is become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Here John is seeing the same kingdom that Daniel saw being established, the same kingdom that Jesus prayed, pray thy kingdom come. Just let me read Revelation 3:21, just to show life this day, 20 and 21. I'm going to close. And it's hot and I'm feeling it sweeping all over me and all over you. And I know it's getting a little weary in your mind. I can feel the struggle in your spirit to concentrate and to hold your mind together. Revelation 3, verse 20. Let me take verse. Verse 18 is good. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased goods and have need of nothing, And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I just say, you know what? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What's the character of these statements here? That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Supper time, evening time, right here. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Notice that? At the end of the age, the promise is, you will sit with me in my throne, because the time has come where I'm going. At the end of the seventh age, with those seven drops of blood, those seven church ages spoke of his intercession. At the end of the seventh church age, where you are son of God, priest, he leaves to become son of man. He was put out of the church. He was in the outside now. He was being revealed as son of man, as judge. And son of man is that stone, that's his coming. And when he comes, he shows as son of man. The next thing he's going to be is son of David, because son of God is finished. And he cannot be son of David and have his own kingdom, and the Gentile kingdoms is still around. But that's his Davidic covenant. I will give the throne to David. We took those things many times. I'll give the throne to David. And that never went out, because it came in the New Testament and said, where is he born, King of the Jews? He will have the throne of his father David, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And when he died on Calvary, he didn't receive that kingdom. He ascended to heaven, and there's a spiritual kingdom of that word in the hearts of his people. While Satan was building a science civilization, building these kingdoms in this earth. But Revelation 10, when that coming begins, that goes right on to Revelation 19, which is the end of that second coming. We just call it the third coming. But really, you don't have nothing like a third coming. In the sense of getting a scriptural word for a third coming. You see, but he comes in to die for his bride, come to claim his bride, come to win his bride. Sure. But when the scripture speaks of the second coming, it speaks of Revelation 10 is appearing and then is coming. Revelation 19 goes all the way into his second coming, because his second coming is as the Lion of Judah, as King, as judgment. But the revelation of that coming begins to unfold to us as Son of Man, because we know Son of God, that dispensation is over, and Son of David is being ushered in. We in a conjunction, we in a lap over. See? And that's why he shows himself as judge. Because why? He come to judge what? The kingdoms of this world. Man's day that exalt themselves. See, this was man's day. This is not God's time. This is man's day. And you read it in Christ, he's revealing his own word. He said, watch, when God showed Nebuchadnezzar the Gentile kingdom, he started with the head of gold coming down to the feet. But when he started with the church, he started with the feet going back up to the head. His kingdom. You get that? Where's the science civilization? The Gentile kingdoms. That's the science civilization. That's Satan's Eden. Those 10 toes, this world, this is Satan's Eden. That is the science civilization that Lucifer has built since Genesis. It's not Jews. Because Israel have been trodden down. Israel is the one who is the superpower in the Bible before the Gentiles coming. Jesus called the time of the Gentiles. When Israel was taken to captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, Israel will be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Let me read that, Luke 21. I read it last week. I read it again for you just to make these closing remarks and close. But that is not the one we are watching right now, my friend. That is going to physically end. Luke 21, also find Revelation 11. Hold them together right there. When Jesus comes, the time of the Gentiles, was way advanced already. Because he was in the legs of iron. He was there when Rome was ruling the world. Greece was already broken as a world power. Medes and Persians was long history gone. And Babylon was way back before that time. When Jesus came, it was the Romans, Titus, who was getting ready to come and do the destruction. Verse 24. He's talking about the destruction of Titus. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles is what is known as Gentile rule over Israel. You see, Israel was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon, brought back to the homeland, rebuilt the temple, it was burned again, they were scattered again, taken back into the world. Then they brought back in another time again, coming back in by Hitler and bringing them back this time, driving them back. See? So they were rebuilt again and with Messiah again. God take them out, scatter them, bring them back in, they rebuild, they worship God, they sin again, you take them out again, you bring them back in. But this time they're not coming in to be taken back out and scattered. That generation shall not pass away until all things be fulfilled. Is that right? Roman Revelation 11. Look right between that 6 and 7 trumpet. Verse 1. Right after that second fold of that seventh seal, where that bride goes forth and prophesy again, Revelation 8:11. That great mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. Right after that, look what it unfolds into. And there was given me a reed like a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure. All is in the vision now. The temple of God and the altar and them that worship in it. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And then what happens? 42 months, at the end of 3.5 years, while Moses and Elijah is killed, and while 104,000 is killed, and while the fruit and virgin is killed, and all these things by Roman power, what happens after? The stone comes. Is that right? After that 3.5 years, the stone comes to destroy completely, and the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. So where are we? We are right in the unfolding, in the coming of that stone that is already here, smiting, establishing His own kingdom in the earth, bringing His glory, not man's glory, bringing His glory. Not man's power, His power. Not man's wealth, His wealth. Not man's majesty, His majesty. Not the spirit of them beasts, which is the nature of the nations, His own nature. A kingdom that cannot be removed. Why would you sit here this morning, knowing that God, which you may have misunderstood, because of the characteristic that He's expressing, and because of the way you want Him to relate to you, and He have nothing against you, but He must judge the cosmos, the influence of man in your life, which has kept Him out, which has glorified itself, which have exalted Satan to the position where he sit in the temple as though he is God. He sit in the earth, in your earth, the man of sin in the temple, in your temple. Exalt himself above all that is called of God. And which one of us he didn't find man's wisdom exalted inside of us, in our temple? Did when he come in Malachi for he find the word for the age in you? Huh? We like Elisha to tear up our old mantle, tear it up and throw it away completely, and take this mantle here. Is that right? Get that power. He had to destroy that net here, that old snake, burn that out to bring in his net here inside of you. Is that right? He had to destroy that worldly image where we want to be like somebody in the world. Some great person out there. He had to tear that down to bring his beauty and his character and his image inside of us.
Amen. Show us that that is what it's going to be in his kingdom, my friend.
Malachi 14, that rock coming. At that time, I'm going to pick up some more Wednesday, because we have service Wednesday here. Wednesday is our next service day, you know that, 6:30 p.m. So we being able to follow a little faster rather than waiting from Sunday to Sunday. I want you to say that the action of that stone is judgment, not grace. Voices, thunderings, lightning speak of judgment. When he roar as when a lion roareth. The judgment. All this world that rejected him because he stumbled at the stone again. When a man or a woman with the life of God inside of them walks in that world here, speaking to them the word of God, that will convict them in their heart before they fall on that stone and be broken. They try to resist that word, and then that stone grinds into powder. And there's nothing. There's no more mercy. There's no appeal court after rejection of God's grace. Because to reject that headstone that came and shouting the grace, brother, is judgment. And that's exactly what this world have done. And this whole world have passed redemption. And that rock was thrown up, that judgment will start in the earth. Because that stone is going to smite in judgment. And notice the image does not smite the stone. It's the stone that smote the image, is that right? And when Jesus came in his first coming, it was the Romans who killed him. He didn't kill them. It's they who smote him. It's they who killed him. So it wasn't his first coming. It was his second coming. Where he's going to come and smite. Amen? In that second coming, where that mystery begins to unfold, the one who's here, coming, angel and being revealed. And Brother Bram knew that stone, that rock, had come. He had the ministry to reveal that stone to the public. That was the great secret of that seventh seal. To reveal that stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. But we are lively stones. Amen. We are chips of that stone. Chip of the old rock. The old rock Jesus. Amen. Glory! We are part of him. But what that stone cut out of that mountain, his coming, that great stone in the last days, when he appears on the scene, Daniel saw the appearing of that stone and he spoke of it. When it appears, the first thing he does after his appearing, then he begins to smite that image. And when he destroys that image completely, he don't leave that earth empty. That stone himself takes over and become the ruling power in that earth. You don't want to be the ruling power in your earth? Amen. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Amen. Take over this old image, Lord. Mold me into your image and your likeness. Let that rock grow up inside of me, Lord. Amen. Let me have your glory. I don't want the glory of this world. This is a glory that's going to fade away. The word is to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us when that rock begins to grow up inside of you. That rock is just the word, my friend. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the wisdom and power of God. That stone smote that image. That was a worldly image in the earth. But after the appearing of that stone, then there was a heavenly image in the earth now. And we are born the image of the earthy. But we will bear the image of that heavenly. Amen. Our affections will be different. It'll be different, my friend. Don't feel bad if you have to fall in him this morning. You might be broken, but he'll not leave you broken forever. He's only breaking that he might mold you over. Break me and mold me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Amen. And he will be that for us. So, we're going to pick up Wednesday rather. And I want to spend some time in this book of Daniel and Daniel Revelation together, because
in this book of Daniel, it shows that fourth kingdom that rises there, and that great leader, Satan, Superman, who takes the throne. But how, when the real king comes to establish the real kingdom, like when Solomon came and he found Adonijah, that false king, who had united political power and religious power, he smote him. Is that right? And then Solomon was established as king in the earth, and his glory was seen round about. I mean, we can go through the Bible back and forth to those things, but that's the hour. And very soon, we will cease to pray, thy kingdom come. It's already come in your heart. His will in heaven, heaven comes of his word, is already been reflected through you. Souls in heaven now. See? This is what it is. We are of another kingdom. We are of another world. Amen. You watch and see. The characteristic that is being manifested as this stone is in its ministry. But that stone appeared and had a ministry, had a purpose, had something to achieve, to accomplish. And in the end, that stone had accomplished its purpose. Because that is what have been the purposes of God all along, to come back into this earth and bring it back to where it was in the Garden of Eden. To come back into your life and bring you back where you was in the beginning too. That's how he does it, by coming back into you. And that's what we so resist, to fulfill our own desire and our own will. But the greatest joy you could find, the greatest deliverance you could experience, would be to fall on him. He said, him that fall on that rock would be broken, but him that rock falls on would be ground into powder. And after Brother Bram told that dream, and then a man could turn on his light, and he came to the end of his prayer. He was praying. He said, may there come forth this great issue of this rock that's cut out of the mountain without hands. It will crush these Gentile kingdoms to the ground. All these kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms and natural kingdoms. Spiritual kingdoms and natural kingdoms. And the rock will cover the whole earth. Could you see the twofold I'm talking about? This earth and then this earth? Sure you can. Because all we have, all we draw, the worldly dressing, the worldly hairstyle, the worldly education, the world is all that is only a reflection of the natural kingdom as here in this natural earth. That makes us a product and a citizen of this worldly kingdom. But then when he breaks those things, break that power, and he comes the ruling power in our life, oh, that's the transformation. He says, and the rock will cover the whole earth. It will be a purified of fear. Those who that rock crush will be ground into powder. Those who fall upon that rock shall have a solid foundation. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He said, oh Christ! Here's the prophet now. Like he was in the end of the Gentile dispensation. He was in the days of the ten toes, Daniel was in the days of the head of gold. Daniel brought it even to reveal the handwriting on the wall of Babylon. He came and revealed the mystery handwriting on the mystery wall of mystery Babylon. And here he stood there, he said, oh Christ, let me as your servant die on this rock, the rock of thy word. Amen. Oh my. Glory be to God. The head of gold was passed with the beginning and the ending of the Gentile dispensation. Page 12. The head of gold was passed away, as Daniel said it would, the Babylonian kingdom. Succeeding that, he said it would be the Medes of Persia. Then they succeeded the Babylonian kingdom. And they fell to who? The Grecians, Alexander the Great. They fell to what? The Romans. The Romans broke up to all the world. The Eastern and Western Rome. The two legs. And he said iron and clay was on to the toes. The ten toes, the ten kingdoms. And he said they wouldn't mix or intermarry among one another. Romanism and Protestantism. And in that day, when this thing exists, then the stone was hewn out of the mountain without hands and rolled in and broke the thing to pieces. And it took the place of the image. Amen. And right in the wall. Speaking here. But as it was then, so it is now. They wasn't used to the supernatural. They know nothing about it. They didn't know how to interpret unknown tongues. They know nothing about the heavenly language. And they were dumbfounded. They know nothing about it. And as they all stood there, remember, this is bringing in of the Gentile kingdom. And as it come in under the supernatural, it will go out under the supernatural. Amen? Amen. Notice the Gentiles started with idol worship. That's the way to seduce them, by image worship, forced to it. And it ended in a supernatural handwriting, a supernatural language that only supernatural understanding could understand it. That's the way the Gentile kingdom issued in, and it will go up the same way. That's right. By supernatural works, supernatural interpretation. You know what I'm talking about, the working of the supernatural. Oh, how marvelous. Aren't you happy you believe in the supernatural? Amen. And page 6, beginning and end of the Gentile dispensation, Daniel beheld the image until the stone was healed of the mountain that was cut out without hands. That rolled right into the image and broke it and made it like wheat on the summer threshing floor. And the winds drove it away and the stone grew into a great mountain that covered all the earth and the sea. That was the coming of the Lord Jesus, which is now at hand. Amen. Let me give you one more Daniel 7 to read. Just give one. I don't have time. I just threw it out to you like that. He's talking about the last days, and the only man who could start a war is the Pope, and the only one who could stop the war is the Pope. He said, because all them Catholics there, and if he say no Catholics pick up arms, you know what, Americans have how to go right back home. But why would you want them to fight in that war? You have a good reason. Amen. Talking about the Gentile days are finishing, and the last 40 years the Jews have been returning to Jerusalem, going back to the homeland. See where we at? And then he goes on and he speaks of how the Eisenhower and Khrushchev, the iron and the clay and so on. And he said, now cut out of the mountain. Must have been a mountain of stone. It was cut out of a mountain of stone. Did you notice? And he goes on and he talks about the pyramid. Here, how the church is like a pyramid and the head, the coming of the headstone like the coming of that stone. Because it is the coming of Jesus. It is the coming of Christ. It is that seventh seal. It is Revelation 10. And what's the next thing? This rejected stone to the pyramid. Cut out of the mountain without what? Without hands. God send it. Do you see it? The rejected one. The rejected stone is the head of the capstone. And the very one that they rejected through the Gentile age is Christ. And Christ is cut out and put in here as a vicar or son of God or some great dignitary in the church. He's the Holy Spirit. The cap, the pyramid will be Christ coming. Do you see it? Christ, the headstone, the rejected stone. The all-seeing eye, coming exactly like the Bible said. And Daniel said, he watched this Gentile age until the stone cut out of the mountain that wasn't cut out without hands. What happened? At that time, the coming of that stone, up went the church into glory at the rapture, because it ended the Gentile dispensation. God ended up the coming of that stone. And there were some people in the church, they sing a little song, oh, I'm looking for that stone that was rolling in Babylon, going on home, they'd say, looking for that stone that coming rolling in Babylon. There he is, Christ is that stone. Amen. The headstone is the Holy Ghost, Christ. And every one of us that got the magnetism to the Holy Spirit, when that stone strikes the image, the church will flee to it, because into glory she'll be taken up at the rapturing of the saints when she goes forth through that day. Now looky here, we find the Jews has now been returning back about 40 years about the same time. Because when Jerusalem begins to restore, when the fig tree begins to restore, what is happening? It's time for Gentile dominion of Jerusalem to cease. In that last generation, he comes as Son of Man to show the Gentile age is over. It's time for Son of David. He leaves the Father's throne, Revelation 5, to take his own throne, Revelation 19. And Revelation 10, he drops down between that time to gather those who are going to reign with him in his throne. What is happening here amongst us? What is taking place? What is happening in the world here with those, that new world order and them 10 nations and all them things coming in there? And the Roman power, in that form, the Roman power, the fourth kingdom, takes the form of 10 toes. It looked like it's the kings of the earth, but they are ruled by another king. That man of sin, who they have given their strength and power to. The beast himself, Satan, Superman, that one that Daniel saw, who had a mouth and spoke with flatteries, and who changed times and laws, and who destroyed wonderfully by peace, and who caused craft to prosper, and who's going to hold the world, wealth and trade and these things in a pact. Is that right? Who has all the gold of the world? And who's going to work through the image of the beast, Revelation 13, where America come out of? what is happening, friends? What are these things happening? It's right there in the book of Daniel. And as we begin to look at it and take these things, to see these modern events a little more clearer, and to see the position of the church and where we need to be going, if that image is fixing to be struck and be destroyed, and that stone is going to serve his kingdom, what about in your earth? What image is in your earth this morning? That stone that has come, have you fallen in that stone? Or have you tried to resist that stone? Or have you let that stone become your headship? Amen. Jesus told the Jews, he said, the same way from Abel to Zechariah to John, and they killed all the prophets and then they sent his son, and the Jews reject the Messiah. From Adam to Jesus, now from Jesus to the Son of Man being revealed again. He sent Paul and Irenaeus and Martin, Columba and Luther and all them. Is that right? And they killed them. And then he sent his own son, the Son of Man being revealed before Malachi 4. And all the churches, what did they do? They come together and say, let us form an image of the beast. And they united to reject the Messiah message. To kill the Son. And have the world religion and take over the earth and establish their own kingdom. But when it comes in Revelation 19, what will he do? He will destroy them completely. He's holding them paws right now. But the image he wants to smite is that image inside of us that don't reflect him. Is that little worldly image that we have? This earthy image. Why don't we bear the image of the heavenly this morning? Why don't that stone grow from faith to virtue to knowledge to temperance until it forms another image, a mountain, a pyramid, a new image inside you that reflects the kingdom of the God of heaven, where his will in heaven is reflected on earth, where God and man become one. Isn't that what we need to be in this hour? Isn't that his promise? Oh my. Praise his wonderful name. Let us all stand to our feet. Jesus, there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Oh, but there's something about that name. The millennium has been ushered in, friends. This world is again falling apart socially, economically, politically, religiously. It's gone. It's finished. It's rotten to the core. It's rotten and dying to give birth to a new kingdom. That's where we at. And that stone that many stumbled at because it was in flesh, they couldn't see he was that stone standing right there. The Jews seek a sign, the Greeks wisdom. Unto us Christ, that stone is the wisdom and power of God, who we have made righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Why you today realizing that the ones who's going to be in that kingdom when established on the earth is the one in whose earth that kingdom has first been established. You believe that? Amen. I want to sing about that name. Because when it's all gone, when the dust is cleared, when the winds are finished blowing across the face of the earth, those winds of judgment, when all the great kingdoms become chaff, and they purge it with his fan in his hand, what is going to be there will be his kingdom that shall never pass away. That's what we have, the opportunity to be part of today. I want to offer that to you as a stranger, as a visitor, as one who might be a denominational Christian, one who might be looking for your future in this world. I want to present that to you. To be a fellow citizen. To be part of this kingdom. Become part of his world. All it's going to take is to fall on that rock. Fall on that stone this morning. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, who will exalt you in due time. Let's sing it, Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing to him, children.
Jesus.
Oh, prayerfully, faithfully.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, just something. Let him write it in your forehead this morning. Master Savior.
Master
Savior.
Savior.
Oh, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus.
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 Oh, let all heaven and proclaim. Kings and kingdoms.
Yeah.
Oh, will all pass away. Oh, but yes, something.
But yes, something.
Lift your hand and let's sing it, worship him one more time. We see it in his word, we see it happening in reality. Jesus. Prophecy is becoming history. Happening all around about us in this hour. That sealed angel is moving to his church, writing that name in their foreheads. Oh, that the revelation of his word for this hour. Let you know you are part of him. You will be among Zion. Oh, Master Savior.
Savior.
Oh, like the fragrance. Come unto us as the rain, friends. Oh, the great Holy Spirit, the former latter rain. Do you see that bow? Do you see that cloud? Do you hear the voice of the thunder? Do you see that lightning flashing everywhere? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Oh, kings and kingdoms, Gorbachev, Bush, the Pope, Rome, America, Russia, Saddam, Iraq, all the places. Oh, but it'll only be Jesus, friends. Only Jesus.
Amen.
this is reality. It's God's word being made manifest in the earth today. It's God's word being revealed in the midst of His people. It is the Spirit of the living God preparing a people for a great catching away. It is those seven thunders uttering the voices, showing them how to enter into rapture in grace, giving them faith to be changed. It is those supernatural things that we couldn't enlighten ourselves with, now being made plain when we have reason to see it, that we might recognize our day and our message and see the hour that we have come to. Don't let it bypass you. What is word and soul? What's that word that seems so dark come to light? What it makes so vivid and plain to us? The hour that we have arrived to, and the things that are fixing to happen in the earth. Oh, we ought to be such a thankful people this morning. Know the grace of God have come to us. We have remembered our people of lost state. Oh, a soul that magnified the Lord and rejoiced in God our Savior. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Give Him glory and honor and praise Him, because He has come amongst us as that stone. He has come to establish His kingdom in our hearts. He has come to give us a kingdom that cannot be removed, whose glory will not fade away. So build us upon that rock of revelation, where He will be the Lord of all the kingdoms of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory and praise be unto your name, Lamb of God. Oh, rock of revelation. Oh, great stone covered our hands. We praise you. Oh, great stone that has come and shown grace and marvelous things unto us. And a breath of the image of His word, who trapped us and held us in bondage, and who ruled us and made us live in sin and revelry and pleasure, who have delivered us and bring us to know heavenly things, and to bring the glory and power of heaven into our soul, that we can become the habitation of God. We can become the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! We thank you, Rock of Ages. Hallelujah! Oh, great God! Thou art not a son of stumbling to us. Thou art a son chosen of God. Precious cornerstone. A tried stone. A sure foundation. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to Thee, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us bear the image of the heavenly, Lord. We are born the image of the earthy. But now we want to bear the image of the heavenly. We want that rock, hallelujah, to abide in us, to take your place of that old image, to become the ruling power in our lives. We fall upon that rock today. Oh, God. We cast up ourselves. Hallelujah upon Thee. Hallelujah, we come. All that we have, all that we are, we throw ourselves at Thee, Lord. We're holding nothing, Jesus. Oh, rock, may we be broken. May self will be broken. May pride be broken. May worldly ambition be broken. May worldly pleasure be broken, Lord. May all these things be broken. Hallelujah. May your word grow and grow and grow. Make them greater and greater. Oh, God, until we are possessed with that word, until that rock fills. furnace of earth with the furnace of God. Hallelujah. Let us lick up the honey in that rock. Let us hide in the cleft of that rock. Let us be established on that rock. Oh, God, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Give glory and praise unto Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hold me and make me after thine own way, Lord. God, how else should we be part of that other kingdom? Part of the kingdom of the Son of David. Oh, God, the Son of Man is revealed inside of us. Hallelujah. The Word, the rock, don't fill our earth, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory and praise be unto thee. Let that revelation go written on our forehead today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is the latest of the hour. It's your 5 pounds the hour. God, as you stand here in that presence, may your spirit move to the congregation. May you deal with us, Lord. May you touch hearts and lives in a special way. I pray, oh God, as men and women stand here, reaching out this morning, reaching out for a closer walk, reaching out for a deep experience, reaching out for a brand new touch, Lord. Lord God, you look for deliverance as they cry upon thee. Cry unto thee, Lord. They lift their voices as they try to break through his veil. May, oh God, give their deliverance come to their heart, Lord. May the power of the Holy Spirit that is present here move them up the people, Lord. God, may you find that place in their heart. Oh God, let you take up your gold. Oh, rock of ages. May you grant it, Lord. May you grant it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory and praise your name. Glory and praise your name. Glory and praise your name. Oh, friends, don't listen. Go through the formalities to finish. In your heart, you're finished when you know you have submitted everything to Him. You are in His rightful place. You're truly fallen upon Him. You lose all confidence in the flesh, all confidence in your own ability. It's all going to come to naught. The same way they had a gold pass away. The same way the chest of silver pass away. The ties of brass pass away. Same way they let the iron pass away. Same way the iron came its outward texture. Right now, down the toes, the 10 toes, is going to pass away also. And the only thing that remains is the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. He's coming soon. He's coming to reign in power. The King is coming. Oh, we hear the song getting louder and louder each day. We're in that great crescendo time. Oh, being caught up in the heavenly course. We come to a high octave. Something is fixing to happen. A new ministry. We see a change in this junction time. We see what's unfolding into. They have no dear God. Trials do great exploits. Gain who that rock dwell. Gain who forehead that name is written. Blessed be His wonderful name. And His name. Why don't you this morning, before you leave, fall on that rock. Truly fall on that rock. Let Him become your foundation. Let the worldly image and the worldly things pass away. The things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and good. Let's think about it, friends. To love the world and the things of the world, then the love of your Father can never be in you. You must fall on Him. that can be broken. It can be remolded. He can be Lord of all the kingdoms of one. Father, we sing that. We get ready to listen. Jesus be the Lord of all. That kingdom. Let all kingdoms can kingdom pass away. King reason, imagination. King fear. King money. King pride. King pleasure. Let all the glory fade away. Let King Jesus, King Word, King of Kings, Melchizedek. Oh my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just fellowship with Him. Just worship Him. Just talk to Him in your heart. Just yield to Him. Just reach out for a closer walk this morning. Let your wick be dipped in the oil. Let Him pour your oil. Your vessel be allowed. Be just. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. The stone that smote the image is still here, smiting images of this world. In human earth. It's still growing and filling earth. It's still become that kingdom that can't remove. That smiting stone. Christ. In you. The stone in you. Hallelujah. Your hand and surrender as it will fall on Him, the rock. We are falling into this morning, Lord, as a church, as a body of people. All of ourselves will be broken. We surrender, we fall on you, O rock. Call of your hand. We will be broken in ourselves, that yourself might live in us, that the rock might grow in us and dwell in us and fill us. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Jesus. Jesus, sing to the rock. Sing to the rock this song. But I'm moving west to come and pray with us. Ask God bless you. Bless you. May we not leave. Go walking around with a ton of places. Head bowed. Eyes closed. Respect. And remain fallen upon that rock. Broken. Surrendered.
Thank you, beloved Lord Jesus. Father and God, Lord, with our hearts, Lord, and our head in your presence before you. Thanking you, Father, for your grace, Lord, your love and your mercy on us, Father. Lord, the new Father that here, Lord, we are, Father, the end of time, Lord. Lord, when the end of all things have come, Father. Lord, in your spirit, Father, choosing, O God, to come unto filthy, ungodly sinners like us, Lord. Lord, and reveal yourself in such a plain way, Father. Lord, in our hearts, Lord, in your presence, like Isaiah, we cry, Lord, we cry, who is us, Father? Yes. Lord, when we think, Lord, about the things, Father, that I have done on this spot of ground, Father.
Yes.
Lord, when we think, Father, about the depths of truth that have been revealed under our hearts, Father.
Yes.
Lord, in no way, Father, we are trying to justify ourselves for it, Lord.
Oh,
but, Father, as we stand in your presence, we just want to give you thanks, Lord. We want to give you glory.
Father, we want to give you honor for these things,
Lord,
for faithful servant, Lord, that all of these years that has gone with your word, Father.
Help you, Lord.
Lord, most of all, we thank you, Father, for your Holy Ghost that has abided with us, Father.
Yes.
Lord, just to keep us in the will, God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you know, Lord, the coming days for his whole, Father. You know, God, the things, Father, that his future holds for us, Father. How we have to, God, that Father, our lives, Lord, would Father continue to stay in your presence in such a way, Father. Lord, that your spirit will be pleased to dwell with us, Lord. Father, that even, Lord, the promise that we keep looking for, Father. Lord, that's good for, Lord. Father, the thing, Lord, that you promised that will do great things for us in our midst, Father. How we pray, oh God, that our lives, Father, would be so fruitful, Lord, that, Father, you could take each and every one of us aside, Lord, and say, this is your beloved son. Lord, this is your beloved daughter that is pleased to dwell in, Lord. How we ask, oh God, that our eyes, Father, would be zeroed in upon these things, Father. Lord, as we continue, Lord, to walk with you, oh God. Knowing, Father, that faithful is you, Lord, that has promised these things unto us, Lord. Oh God, as we stand, Lord, we just give you honor, Lord. We give you glory. Father, we give you praise and thanks, oh God. Asking, Lord, that the faith that was ministered unto us, Lord, today we could go with it in our hearts, Father. Lord, all we ask, Lord, is that these things would abide in our hearts, Father. Lord, that in no way the enemy wouldn't take it out of from us, Lord.
Oh
God, even as Father, we dismiss, Lord, from this place, Lord, and from your presence, Father. Lord, we ask that your spirit would go with each and every one of us, Father. Minister into our hearts as we go along the way, God. Thinking, Father, upon these things, Lord, that you have shared with us this morning, oh God. Keep every one of us, Father, in that place, Father, abiding in your word at all times, Lord. Until, Father, we return, Father, in your presence on Wednesday, Father. How we ask, oh God, that, Father, you dismiss us from this place even now, Father. We commit all things into your hands, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask you.
We are so blessed. Amen. Very wonderful. God bless you, have a seat. Before you go, I have an announcement.